early in this morning, a lot of cultivator or devotee, they don't understand the significance of all this morning chanting, evening chanting, and puja offerings. So I will make full use of whatever time we have to explain again one more time why the Buddha recommend this type of practices. In the morning, you remember, when we came in, we had a very simple morning puja. And this morning puja is just to pay homage to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, the Triple Gem. Then we chant the salutation to the Buddha. And because this is a Mahayana temple, we also chant salutation to all the great beings of the Mahayana tradition, all the great Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, including Virochana Buddha. Some of you may not have heard of Virochana Buddha, because the first day when we came yesterday, I took some of you around, and most of you at the back, you might not have heard what was explained. Virochana Buddha is supposed to be the first Sammasambuddha that has arisen in our present universe. So from that, the whole lineage of all Sammasambuddha that has arisen since the first one are all connected to this Virochana Buddha. And because of that, the Mahayana teaching tradition, they hold this Virochana Buddha as the prototype, the first. And from there, the condition evolved for all the rest to arise. And I've seen a lot of Mahayana temple in China also have this tradition. When we were at Putaosan, I think the previous year, 2015, we had these great spiritual trips, and we were there for many days. Then we managed to get one of these meditation places, Songqian Chanyuan. That place also, they have Virochana Buddha. And the way place was beautiful, meant to be. At first, they tried to recommend another place, a very famous one, but very big and very busy, a lot of tourists. So that place is not conducive. So when the tour organizer from China, they recommend to our local tour leader, Mr. Mr. Is a very nice person. So when Mr. Explained to me, then I said, okay, we can have a look. Then I went and have a look. Then after he showed me around, that China guy also, because he thought this is the biggest and most popular, and he thought he can get this place for us, it should be very good and serve us well. But then when I went with him, he was being shown here and there, or because if it's nothing to do with donation, they will direct you everywhere. Understand? He said, you go and see this person. Then see that person, he said, oh, I cannot make the decision. You go and see that person. See until finally the fourth one, we end up I think it's quite a big room. I thought, why so many lay people? Then a lot of there are people there. They were all busy doing donation, and they were serving them all. So when we went there, they like no time for us. Then finally he said, you have to go to the other side and see the other person. Then I tell that China too, I said, forget about it, never mind. This place, we can't. He said, no. He said, Mr. Teo, we already spoken to the management, my company. He said, they arranged this already, I must find that monk. Then after he find the monk told him, this is a very busy place. We cannot allow you space. We can only allow you to have a small section. Then with all the devotees coming in and make offering or sing and very noisy. He said, you can have your activity here. I told China to, I said, never mind, meant to be. We just forget about this place. Then I asked him, where else? Yeah. He said, no more, big one. Is it? I said, I don't want big one, I want small one. Oh, then he said, got one, nobody go on. Oh, no tourist one, no offering, nothing. That one we go. Then I realized that was the perfect meditation center. You know? A lot of Kayamita who went with me, they know. And they were so kind when they knew that we are looking for a place to conduct a one-day retreat for our devotee. And they were quite surprised that we had quite a big group. Then they find us so disciplined and so different from others. The monk also start to like us. Then provide us with all the food and the whole facility. It's like that place is meant for monk to have meditation and session. They give the whole place to us. So we had a very good retreat over there. And this is what I want you to understand. When you cultivate, you don't go for all the famous area and places because some of them may not really serve their intent or purpose for you to conduct your meditation and retreat. But this one is very good because this Songqian Chanyuan, the abbot knew, you open up, it become commercialized. Then it's about donation, donation. Then the whole of the way place is no longer what it is. So he maintained low profile, and people don't know, he don't want to promote that place. If you are serious about meditation, you go, they will offer you. And they charge very cheap, very, very cheap. So what I try to explain to you is, when you cultivate with sincerity, you trust your nature, when you have the affinity, the refuge, just like what we do in the morning chanting, the puja, everything. The Buddha's introduction of this practice is to allow you to have the condition to cultivate the spiritual faculty that we have gone through yesterday. The five spiritual faculty that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching, to develop the faith, sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. The faith is very important, leading to the spiritual zeal or tenacity. Then you cultivate mindfulness. And the purpose of all this puja is to create the vast virtue that you can develop through your homage, through your chanting, through your salutation. And also through this, you develop the faith in the Buddha and his teaching, and you start to understand all of the essential Dhamma that he has introduced for your understanding. The other thing is, he advises us to take refuge with the Triple Gem. And I have explained this morning why the Triple Gem. According to the Buddha, there is no other refuge safe, not even in the mountain, in the cave, or anywhere. It's refuge safe, except the Triple Gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. They are called gems because they are the most precious among the precious stone, the gemstone. So the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, they will have the teaching. Because the Buddha, being the fully enlightened one, he has the teaching. And the teaching is the Dhamma. That's why when you can have affinity with the Buddha and the Dhamma, you will definitely have his teaching. Basically, it's the Four Noble Truths. Then it can lead to enlightenment, awakening. Then last gem is the Sangha. Here, the Buddha meant by the enlightened disciple of the Buddhas, Aryan Sangha. Since they are enlightened disciples, they also have the Dhamma. That's why you have refuge. You have taken refuge with this tree, with sincerity, with faith. You cultivate very strong affinity with them. Then whenever you have to come through karmic conditioning, rebirth, you can have the condition to connect wherever you are born, anywhere, any place, any time, any civilization. Wherever there is the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, your nature will connect. And you will be able to continue your cultivation. Then the other aspect of the offering and the chanting is like we offer all the items of great significance. Clear water, incense, candle. They are very meaningful, even the fruits, the flower. It denotes impermanence. It denotes karma, the friction, generosity, rejoicing. Then clarity of mind. Then like the fragrance of the incense. If you truly cultivate your wisdom, your virtue, they will shine forth far and wide like the fragrance of the incense. Then the other thing is about the candle. That is the light of wisdom that will allow you to overcome darkness, which is ignorance. So all these are very meaningful. That's why you develop the cultivation. Then from the faith, the affinity, the virya, you develop mindfulness too as you pay respect, as you make offering. As you rejoice, you develop a lot of wholesomeness. And all this offering that you make to the Triple Gem with a sincere mind, with understanding, the field of merits is immeasurable. Even your respect to the Triple Gem, the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, the great beings, they are of great merits and significance. So all this will help you to have the causes and conditions to progress along the path of Dhamma. And it develops spiritual faculty, cultivate affinity. This is what all this puja, morning chanting, evening chanting are. Then just now we chant the morning chanting. We go beyond the chanting of who the Buddha is, who the Dhamma is, and who the Sangha is. Now it's about the teaching, the first noble truth. You have to reflect what is suffering, the eight condition. And finally, the Buddha summarized all of suffering as the five aggregate of form and mind. Attachment to self-delusion, which we have covered yesterday, the two aspects. Then the Buddha instructs you how to contemplate. Birth is suffering. Old age, sickness and death is suffering when you don't have the understanding. Sorrow, lamentation, fear, worry, anxiety is suffering. These are wrong thoughts. When you are with people whom you don't like, it's suffering. When you cannot get what you want, it's suffering. When there is separation from your loved one, prized possession, it can lead to suffering. Then in short, the final summary, the five aggregate or grasping are suffering. Then after that, he asks you to contemplate and reflect. The five daily contemplation. Then, on the five aggregate of form and mind, he said, Rupang anicchang, form is impermanent. Rupang anatta, form is empty, non-self. Then, similarly for feeling, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana. That's why when you chant in Pali, it's more meaningful, because we have affinity with the Pali language, and the meaning really stand out. Sometimes the English translation, the meaning doesn't stand out. I remember during the early days of my cultivation when I was in Thailand, I used to visit the great monk and my teacher, Jayantra Kanchanapuri, the way place where people offered the land. They start their morning chanting 3:45. And when I was there, I heard this chanting exactly like this reflection as instructed by the Buddha. Rupang anicchang, rupang anatta. Then he repeat Vedana anicchaṁ, Vedana anatta. Every word was so clear. And not only clear, the meaning was so clear, so penetrative. Until this nature just shined forth, there was a lot of joy inside. Then it just chant without verbal vibration from the heart, from the nature, one with the whole thing. Then finally repeat for sanya, sankara, and vijnana. Then the Buddha summarized. Sabbe sankara anicchaṁ, sabbe sankara dukkhaṁ, sabbe dhamma anatta. All this was so beautiful. Each and every word, the meaning really stand up. You have to cultivate until this level of understanding. Then only you have the dhamma. Otherwise you cannot. So this is the sharing part. Then now we come back to our program. We're supposed to have meditation first, but I will swap it with the other one. We are just now your morning meditation. Some of you may have questions. There's a lady who came and asked me, Gladys, you want to repeat your question? Where is she? Pass the mic to her. Or use the other.
Brother Teo, can you please explain the triangle thing again yesterday?
Why is it that you all don't understand? You told me you all had a discussion and everyone come out with different versions. Then I saw Sui An trying to help you. So you just elaborate a bit on that. What are the different versions that you all come up with? I also want to know. How come one sharing can become so many different ones?
Can I just ask, the tip of the triangle, that is the pure awareness.
Consciousness, the C. What is it that you all can't understand?
I want to clarify.
Yes. Yeah.
Hello. Is it the samadhi and the panya?
No.
That's where we are not very clear on that.
Okay. Maybe I will explain one more time. You listen. Okay. You see, this S stands for what? What did I explain just now? You have the book in there. What is this S? Senses. Senses means what? Means these are your five physical senses and the mind. You understand? That's why this is your five aggregate of form and mind. Aggregate of form and mind. And this is what the human being is all about. Because we are born as a human, this life. If you are not born as a human, then this is a living being. Can follow? And this is what samsara is all about. You know what is samsara, is it? The wheel of birth and death. Ocean of suffering. Where there is repeated birth, unending birth, eternal, unending birth, because you are trapped in samsara, senses. When you are here, you cannot free, you cannot liberate. So what happened is, living beings believe that this is what they are, the human being, the form and mind. That's where the self-delusion comes. That's how you get entangled and trapped. If you don't have the understanding, the condition to meditate and to realize your true mind, or this is what we call the pure consciousness, This one you don't have to know too much. You just have to understand that you need to silence your mind. Yeah? The moment there is no thought, the moment you are silent, the moment you are silent, you are already aware. Understand? You are already aware. You don't have to learn to be aware. Awareness will be there the moment you are without thought. Silent means no chattering, no verbalization, no thinking, no thought, nothing. Just silent. Stillness. Awareness. So the moment you are silent, you're already aware. You don't have to learn to be aware. The learning to aware is a false concept. Wrong understanding. Who is the one that wants to be aware? Want to learn to be aware? Yeah? Who? Ah, the thought. Yeah, the thought tell you, I must have mindfulness. I must have awareness. So you use the thought. So these five aggregates of form and mind, they are very good at creating the second aspect of the five aggregates, which is the thought process, second aspect of five aggregates of form and mind. And this is what the five mental aggregates. And this is the thought. And the thought that is actively wants to meditate, the thought that wants to be aware, cannot be aware. You know why? Because the thought is involved. Understand? Who is meditating when you are sitting there? Yeah? You use your thought, you know, the thought want to know, the thought want to know, the thought want to do this, do that. And when thought is active, how can you be silent? You can't be silent, isn't it? True or not? Can follow this path, huh? If you can't be silent, then how can you develop the meditative mind, the silent mind? How can you come into contact with your pure awareness or pure consciousness or true mind? So this part up there, this is your true mind. Or the oneness nature, the original nature, Buddha nature, or whatever you can call it. So because your thought is active, you cannot be silent. That's why you cannot come to the understanding that you have another nature up there connected to this form and mind. And because you forgot about this, you are always here at the senses. And this one don't have understanding, don't have wisdom. The only instrument he has is thought, the five mental aggregate of form and mind. Then because you cannot understand, you continue to be deludedly clinging and grasping and holding on to this so-called five aggregate of form and mind, the living being, the human being. So here you keep on repeating your karma. Birth and death, birth and death. That's why it's samsara. You can never be heedful when you are here. You can only be heedful when you understand the Buddha Dhamma, the teaching. Then you realize to be heedful is very easy. I had to learn to be mindful first, like I explained on the first day. Then I had to stabilize that mindfulness so that it doesn't think. It's just aware, silent. But it has to be a free mind, not a conditioned mind. Not in concentration, not in energy field, not in absorption. That's why people cannot do it, because they always go for thought-based meditation, method, technique, object of meditation. Then their mind has the mental hindrance. They cannot cope. So they fix the thought. They go into one-pointedness. They go into absorption, concentration. They focus. So that the thought does not wander, so that it builds up energy. But when you are in the one pointedness, ekagata, all the thoughts are cute at one point. Thought cannot move, you cannot think. Then you develop very strong energy field and calmness. You think that is meditation. Of course, there is also meditation. Yeah? Any form of mental training is meditation. It depends on how you define bhavana or meditation. If you train that mind to develop metta, then it becomes metta bhavana, loving kindness meditation. If you train that mind to do yoga, it becomes yoga meditation, tai chi, or qigong. It becomes that one. But what the Buddha teach is vipassana, wisdom or insight meditation to awaken to the truth. So he never teach all those one-pointedness thing or those energy field thing. He just want you to relax, aware, silent, mindful. Then you will understand. The moment you are relaxed, aware, and silent, you will connect back to this true mind, the silent mind. This one is also called the silent mind. And this one is also the meditative mind. Meditative mind. So far, can follow or not? If you cannot, you better let me know. Until this point of explanation, is it okay? Then, if you have realized this through the Buddha's teaching, you just silent and develop the mindfulness and aware, then what happens is, you come to understand that there is another nature within that never dies, eternal life, never born. That's why it's never die. Because it's never born. It has got no old age, sickness, and death. It is just that nature. No word, nothing. It's not even a being. And that one cannot come out and live life. To live life, you need a vehicle and a tool, the fire and fear. This one is karmically conditional. And this is the one that come to this world. But the funny thing is, without the five aggregate for form and mind, you cannot connect back to the nature. You need to have this, then only you can connect. That's why the difficulty about cultivation is very few people understand this. They have various type of fantasy about what this thing is, like very mystical, very mysterious. It's nothing mystical. The moment this form and mind understand silent, the mind realizes itself and sees, the thinking mind, the mundane mind sees, like Engby explained that day, the mundane mind, the thinking. That mind is not the true mind, like the Buddha explained. The five aggregate of form and mind, the five mental aggregate of mind, the thought, they are dependent, originating, conditioned, arising. They are impermanent. The moment you grasp and cling, it leads to suffering. Because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call. This is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. All this delusion, no more. But because living beings don't have that understanding, that's why they cling, they hold. They believe, since birth until now, the only instrument they have is the thought process. That's why they think a lot, a creature of thought. And in the school, you are so conditioned to believe that you are that form and mind. The moment you are born, you are given a name. You are given an identity, either through your IC, identity card, or your passport later on. Then from there, you use your thought all the way. You go to school. When you don't understand, the teacher say, go back and think about it. And you believe thinking can help you understand things. Thinking can create logical knowledge and understanding. But it cannot develop spiritual understanding. Wisdom cannot come from thinking. That's why they say wishful thinking. So this is how you get cut off. So you are lost inside here. You think the whole of life and existence is just this. But when you meditate, when you silence your mind, the Buddha's teaching is different. He said you will become aware. When you are aware, without thought, the mundane mind sees. Then then you realize there is another nature that is originally the pure awareness, the stillness, the silence, the essence of mind. It was there all the while. Just like the sun. Without the cloud, you can see the sunlight coming in, shine forth, like today's second day, still sunny, good. But when there is cloud, what happens? You cannot see the sun's ray. Does it mean that the sun's ray is not there? It's always there, isn't it? So why can't you see your true mind, or pure awareness? Why can't you realize this? Because you are being clouded by what? Huh? Of course, delusion. But delusion is not an object, understand? Delusion is a, what they call, a word that describes the condition of that mind, understand? That mind is deluded, correct? But delusion, because of delusion, your mind is full of what? Thought process, understand? Full of self-delusion that create the wrong view. The attachment to the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why to you, everything is so real. You think a lot, you worry a lot, you plan a lot. And you hold on to so many things in this world. Your loved one, your possession, your wealth, your career, your friends, your neighbor, your in-law, everything. Then whatever you think you own, you hold on to them. Even before you die, your fear of dying, your fear of losing everything that you seem to have accumulated or own. So this delusion creates a lot of thought. When your mind, the mundane mind, thinking mind, is clouded with thought, you are lost in thought. Do you understand? When you are lost in thought, you cannot be aware. That's why heedlessness is very dangerous. So what is lost in thought? My English is not so good. L-O-S-T or L-O-S-S? S-T, lost. That one is loose. Loose money is loose. L-O-S-S. Okay. So lost in thought. The moment you are lost in thought, it implies heedlessness. Why are you heedless when you are lost in thought? Means you lost your awareness. From a spacious awareness, that true, pure awareness, you are the oneness. But you entangle yourself with this five aggregate of form and mind, you create thought, so much of this thought, then you keep on thinking. When you think, you are preoccupied with your thought. True or not? When you are preoccupied with your thought, you cannot be aware. We are human beings, can only do one thing at a time. Either you are aware, silent, without thought, fully aware of what is going on within the moment. Or when you are lost in thought, what happens? You become heedless. When you are lost in thought, means you are preoccupying your mind with the thought process. Like after you see something, then your thought put in the content through memory. So the content of consciousness is so small, so limited. The whole of consciousness shrinks and become a thought. And you are preoccupied with the movement of that thought, your reaction to that thought, your emotion, your attachment, your clinging, your fear, your phobia, everything within the thought, you are preoccupied with it. So when you are preoccupied with that thinking, you cannot be aware. They say sometimes your friend will know, hey, what are you doing, is it? You seem to have a problem. You are worrying. Understand? You are thinking. And he can see, because you are not yourself. He called you also, you didn't know he called you. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, you realize he called you. Oh, you called me. Why? Why did you call me? Because at that time when he called you, you are preoccupied, you are thinking, lost in thought. So this thought cloud your nature. That's why the sign of progress is when your ignorant self-delusion, the first link, is weakened through your Dhamma cultivation, then you straighten your view to weaken your avijja, ignorant. Then the second link becomes weak. Avijja paccaya sankhara become weakened. When it's weakened, means sankhara become less, thinking become less. Then you can become more aware. Then there is more clarity. Then you can see things as they are and understand. This is what meditation is all about. Develop the spiritual faculty. Silence your mind to develop the awakening, the understanding. Straighten your view. Weaken avijja, self-delusion. Then from there, less thinking. The thinking will slow down by itself, become less and less until you are fully aware, heedful. No need to think. Why must you think? Thinking is only required when you need to reflect, contemplate, and live life. Otherwise, you don't need thought. Your true mind, your true nature don't need thought. There is nothing inside there. But nothing is apart from this. It's from here that something happened again at the back. Distortion or what? Oh, battery finish. Okay. Oh, this one consume battery very fast. So what you need to understand now, I will zero in the important aspect. After you understood this through the Buddhist teaching, the Buddha's teaching, you will be able to develop this understanding to silence your mind, to develop the meditative mind and connect to your true mind. Then from there, you can cultivate. We are from there, the silent mind, this is what I call direct seeing. This is, you cultivate using the silent mind, and this is direct seeing. Because through the awareness, it's just aware. It will awaken. Whereas here, all of your seeing is mundane seeing. The seeing here is mundane seeing. You know what is mundane seeing? You know what is mundane seeing? Ordinary people seeing. Understand? Mahayana got a very famous saying. See mountain, is it? Kan san, si san. That is the first level of seeing. Because everybody, as a human being, you are so conditioned by what that thing is. That thing actually got no name, man. No word, no label, nothing. But we all call it mountain. In Mandarin, san. Then Malay, bukit. But all these are different words and pronunciation. But you have the concept of what this thing is. That's why you say, when I see that mountain, I say it's mountain. Kan san, si san. That is mundane seeing. But a person with the true mind, direct seeing, they see things as they are. See things as they are means what? No word, no concept. Even like this so-called Buddha Rupang. Without the word, without the concept, what do you see? Like the baby see. Without memory, without conditioning. They see things as they are. They got no idea of what that thing is. But they see truth, the reality. They see things as they are. Means their seeing is direct seeing. Not conditioned by memory, views, opinion, and your conditioning. That's why when you see with your views and opinion and conditioning, you are not seeing. That is mundane seeing, conditioned seeing. You are not seeing truth. You are not seeing the reality. But when you have the direct seeing, without the words, without the memory and all those things interfering, you see things as they are, then you say, Kan san, pu si san. When you see that mountain, there is no word. It's not mountain. Nothing. Just as it is. Cannot describe. Cannot talk about. It's just the pure awareness. The pure consciousness. And this is the direct seeing. When you see things as they are, your memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, they will not interfere. They will not tell you story, give you idea, label it. That's why you can see the reality. You can see things as they are. Then when there is this phenomenon or movement or activity, then that nature can awaken to the characteristics of nature. their impermanent, suffering state, non-self, empty nature. All this is possible. But when the mind is there, you know what will happen. Or is this impermanent that the Buddha talked about? Is it the insight knowledge, jnana, that I experienced? Who is telling you all these things? This is what the thought is telling you. That's why that is mundane seeing, thought-based knowledge. That is not the real awakening. The awakening got no words. Later on, when you want to share with living being, then you use words. Because living being can only understand through words. But cultivator understand through the direct transmission, mind-to-mind, seal. That's why there is this mind-to-mind transmission. Nature-to-nature transmission. No need words. Just silent and when they receive. Then they awaken, they understand. So this is the meaning of the direct see. When you are here in silent awareness, meditative mind, silent mind, true mind, this one will, through the direct seeing, awaken, develop wisdom. That's why this you is understanding or wisdom. Or understanding. So through the direct seeing, when you awaken to the three characteristics of nature, you will develop this understanding and this wisdom. And this wisdom, when it arrives, because the form and mind is connected to the true mind, when this wisdom arrives, this form and mind will know. It will understand. That's why when there is sati, awareness, the form and mind will understand. Because it's connected. Then because it's connected with this wisdom, this form and mind become different. No longer deluded. Then the phenomenal world cannot deceive this form and mind. And then you can say this form and mind, the human being, is enlightened. Okay? That's why the Buddha said, he is an arahant. He is a sotapan, anagami, sakadagami. But to the cultivator, the arya, they know this one is not me. Because this one is impermanent. Condition arising, not a permanent unchanging entity. So how can it be you? Then who are you? What are you? This one is the karmically conditioned five aggregate of form and mind. This one come about through karma. Karmically conditioned. Condition. Five aggregate. Oh, form and mind. That's why this is a vehicle and tool for you to come to this universe, to this existence. And this is your segmented life. And this one is not you. Because you have been born and died over that long period of birth and death, which is aeon and aeon and aeon. And every life you come, there is a segment. There's a segment. There's a segment. Countless segments. Which one is you? When you were born as an animal, as a non-human, as a ghost, as a peta, do you think that one is you? But when you were born as a human being, as a king, as a what, you're, oh yeah, that one is me. When you say that dog, cannot be me. Then who are you? What are you? Every segment you come with a different entity. The Buddha said all this segmented life, karmically conditioned out, they are not real, they are not you. Only with that understanding, you can free your mind. Otherwise, you will get yourself entangled. So is that clear now? Yeah? Yeah. Because this is the meditative mind. This one can only be realized when the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the false you, the egoic mind, cease. When that one is not active, then you become the silent mind. The nature, the true mind, the pure awareness, the oneness nature. That's why that nature is very different. That one cannot come out to live life. It's the essence of mind. That one can understand many, many things. Can awaken to truth. Okay? Any more questions? Huh? You understand now? Huh? So no need to like speculate or what. You only need to be open mind. Don't allow your views and opinion and your past conditioning to come and interfere. Then listen objectively, then try to understand, like, this is new to you, you learn. Then you put it to test. You meditate, you're silent. The moment you're silent, can you experience that silence? Normal human being cannot. You ask them to silence, the mental hindrance is there. The mind is so restless. The mental hindrance of sensual desire, ill will has become so habitual. Sloth and torpor, everything is so strong inside there. The doubt, the curiosity, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, everything is so habitually ingrained. They call it habitual tendency, condition, within your conditioned mind. That's why your mundane mind become clouded, full of this type of delusion, full of this type of wrong thought, attachment, clinging, craving, grasping, holding on to so many things. The phenomenal world is like so real to you because you don't have that direct seeing, awakening, wisdom. So because of that, it's very difficult for you to progress along the path of meditation. And what the Buddha teaches is very simple. If that is the problem with the five mental hindrances that condition all this, what you have to do is don't fight them, don't suppress them, don't control them. Develop the opposite five, which is the spiritual faculty. That's why he teaches you the spiritual faculty that can understand his spiritual teaching. When the spiritual faculty is there, the five mental hindrances, like what I explained on the first day, and this is what you need. Nothing else. Can follow? Yeah? Then this becomes possible. The silent mind becomes possible. If you don't have the spiritual faculty, you try to force this mind to become peaceful, you can only do it through concentration, one point or another. That's why the method technique and all those so-called energy field, thought-based meditation, become very popular. Keep on. People teaching. And people learning, thinking that there is meditation. But the real meditation, the Buddha taught, is just mindfulness, awareness. He never asks you to focus and concentrate. Daily life, daily mindfulness, four foundation of mindfulness. Is it clear now? That's why throughout the program, I ask you to be mindful, aware. Train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty. And with that, you are home. The Buddha said, the heedful will never die. The moment you can train your mind to be ever mindful, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, that is the heedfulness that the Buddha talks about. And that is what you need. With that, you are destined for enlightenment. So it's not difficult. Determine to be mindful, to be heedful, that stabilizes it. Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Then your meditation becomes very simple. You will not debate. You will just understand what you need to do. That's why I say you meditate with understanding. If you meditate without understanding, you know what you are doing. How come people can see nimitta, I cannot see? How come people got jhana, got this, got that, I don't have? You completely lost focus because you don't understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. The first thing to check is what? What am I sitting down here for? What am I trying to cultivate, practice, develop? If you are not trying to develop the spiritual faculty, you are not training your mind to be aware, then you are wasting your time. You are doing something else. Do you follow? So all those walking, sitting you do without understanding, you are actually wasting your time. The moment you're out of the retreat, you're back to square one. In the midst of life, you are not capable of heedfulness. You are not capable of being mindful of what you are doing throughout the day. So this meditation becomes very simple when you understand. You only need to deal with the mundane mind, the thinking mind. Develop the spiritual faculty so that the mental hindrance will not interfere, will not hinder you anymore. Then from there, sati will come, because spiritual faculty has sati. You have to stabilize it. Then it becomes the silent mind. Then you connect to the true mind, awareness. Then you are always aware, heedful, mindful. And this is how you cultivate this direction. The direct seeing, constantly aware, constantly meditating. Then through this, you straighten your view, you develop the wisdom. And this wisdom, when it's connected to the form and mind, it will weaken the avijja, ignorant, self-delusion. Then when that one ignorant and self-delusion weaken, the second link, avijja paccaya sankhara, mental activity, thinking, also weaken. That's how you have less thought. Less thought means more aware, more clarity, the nature shine forth. Which means this pure awareness become more and more clear to you. When there is less thinking, there is more moment of awareness, more moment of silence. There is clarity within the mind. That's how you meditate. If there is no clarity, you are clouded, you are heedless, you cannot meditate. You are lost in thought, trapped in the creation created by your own delusion. Okay? Huirong. Pass the mic to Huirong. Can we use the other one? The other one. Oh, Huirong, yeah.
我以前认为盲内慢要到所谓的有出脉是一瞬间，可是我后来觉得不是一瞬间，是慢慢的，stable。所以我以前会觉得哦送啊或者是谁谁谁会，我知道，可是我自己觉得不是那样的，对。应该是你的盲呆脉，如果比方说，因为你用的是所谓的 corrupt， 所以我以前认为 corrupt 就是一瞬间会 corrupt， 可是其实不是一瞬间 corrupt， 而是透过平时的 awareness
很久了的，
才能够慢慢 stable 到那个境界。
对，very good。
所以其实不是什么。Miracle 的
话，对 ，it's not something that is like very difficult to understand or very mystical. The word is mystical. It's nothing mystical. Actually, the Buddha's teaching meditation is very simple when you understand, like what Huirong came to understand. Very good.
所以我以前一向不知道说，为什么有的时候是很可以在很清楚的状态，可是有时候。真的不能，
那个 clarity of mind 就没有了。
可是后来，
因为它是 not stable yet， 它会给你 glimpses of it， 有时候它会现出来给你，因为你有那个因缘法，有那个 condition to realize the true mind， the clarity。Then at that time you will be very different. Then there's a lot of joy. But then later on, as you continue to develop your cultivation, then you forget about that daily mindfulness.Means it fall back. It doesn't develop the stability of mindfulness. Then because of that, it will go back to the old state again. And then from there, he realized this is a gradual process for the mundane mind to slowly, slowly develop the clarity, the understanding. Because it requires purification of mind, the straightening of view. And just now she mentioned becauseYou have to forgive Huirong. She's from Taiwan. She knows Mandarin much better. Her English is not so good. So when she asks questions, I always encourage her to use Mandarin because it will portray or project the correct question that she wants to ask. So for those who may not understand Mandarin, I have to translate a bit. She said, in the past, she thought this process of mundane mindTransforming to become the true mind is spontaneous, immediate. Then later on, she realized it's not. It's a gradual process. Well, last time he heard of Brother Song and a few Kenamita, they suddenly connect to the true mind. Then they start to develop the cultivation differently and the understanding differently. For their case, it's different because they have their past cultivation condition and all those things.Then when the karmic obstruction is no more for Song's case, when she asked, sincerely asked for forgiveness, repentance, then bow in front of Kuan Yin. Then when the condition arise, when he was in this Rayong, Ajahn Anand's place, where there is a beautiful Kuan Yin statue at that place, he has the faith. Then he went up there and pay respect and meditate. Then all of a sudden, they on this chanting tape. The chanting tape is about the Heart Sutta, the Sanskrit version or Pali version, I forgot already, he used to report to me. Then that chanting was so powerful, it's like, it straight away went in and activated his nature. Then straight away the whole thing connect. Then for no reason, all of a sudden after that, at night, where he brought my notes there, the Heart Sutta note, then he started to read. Earlier on, he cannot understand. Read 6 times, also cannot understand. But after that thing, when it connect, all of a sudden, he read, he understand, become very clear. He was so excited, amazed. Then he came back, he reported to me and shared the thing with me. Then I explained to him. But that teaching, those notes, the Heart Sutta thing, come from the silent mind. You meditate with a silent mind, you will understand. Every word become very clear. But if you have not experienced the silent mind, if you use your logical thinking, knowledge, the Dhamma knowledge, to try to understand, no way. You will get yourself very confused, like what Gladys they all went through. The more they discuss, the more version come out. Because nobody seems to understand. Why? They are using their conditioned thinking, conditioned Dhamma knowledge, to try to understand what has been realized through the silent mind. There is a mismatch. You cannot. Okay? Thank you so much. Hui Rong, Sadhu. 还有吗?
可是我觉得那个过程哦, 因为有时候会, 我自己觉得有时候会更惨。
对。
因为你没有过得了。
对。
所以会更惨, 所以变成我觉得, 我要一直在提醒我自己, 我要有那个 face 在那边，然后持续的 continue 的继续，这样子才会过得了。啊，Sadhu,
very good. Don't try to know. That's what I have been telling you all the way. She explained that when she has that thought, when she saw Song they all did it so fast, she also wants to speed up, understand her. But in fact, he realized that one actually is a disadvantage to you. Because you have that craving to speed up and to do all those things. Then later on, she realized all this is still the thought trying to create idea for her to move in the wrong direction. Then she realized what I used to mention and share with them. You must have faith. And when you have faith, you just do. Don't try to know. And then, the result will come. That is what meditation is all about. Everyone is different. The thought will always tell you, wow, how come Brother Song so fast? Other people, Brother Jia, they are so fast. They are not fast. Fast is because the condition fall into place. And they have gone through a lot of hard work in the past. They also went through a lot of, in Mandarin, they call Yan Wang Lu. You know why Yin Wang Lo? Yin Wang Lo, Wan Ong Lo, Penang people, Hokkien. You know why Yin Wang? Because karmic obstruction, go to the wrong one, cultivate the wrong one, then get entangled. But because they have faith, they have affinity. That's why certain life, when they have the condition, the faith, and like this life, when you have the condition, affinity, you make strong aspiration, vow. Then later on, most of you all can take the Bodhisattva vow. And this is the one that creates the Bodhi mind and condition for you to connect. So even let's say in the past you have not developed this understanding, you didn't make this vow. So what happened is you come, you progress. Then after that, you take rebirth again. Then in future when you come, no more sasana. What happened? No more Buddha sasana. No more the Buddha dispensation. What happened? You will fall again, isn't it? then you will become deluded through ignorance. You commit a lot of karmic negativity again, and then you get lost for a long, long time. Like the Mahayana Sutta opening verse. This type of teaching is very rare. Sometimes for 500 million eons, you cannot even come across it. Then now that I see it, hear it, I vow to phantom the Tathagata's true teaching and all that. You have to make that determination. Just like last time, Mandy was so long time ago, lost. Then she went into that phase. Then after that, even went to the hell rhyme and all those things. Then later on when she came out and she has the condition, because at that time she also has the ability to look back into the past. And she saw all those hell birth and all those things, how suffering was so intense. Then she made, during that life, that type of vow, very strong, that she will never, never deviate and become complacent. She just want to go the true way. That's why she was waiting for this window. And after so long, suddenly, when she came across my nature, connect, and when she listened, she just listened attentively and followed exactly what I share. And she progressed very fast, and she connect back to the past. Then immediately it showed it to her deep inside her nature how she has gone through those hell rhymes and all those things, how suffering manifests. It's like a fairy tale thing like that. She reported it herself, came out like that. And then she was in tears. Then she knew what she has gone through in the past. And this life, she never, never allowed this condition or window to slip by. That's why a lot of these people, you think they very lucky, fortunate, they also went through a lot of wrong route, a lot of karmic obstruction and all those things. They also vow to repent. They ask for forgiveness. Then they come back, they persevere. So like Hui Rong came to realize, it's very good. You must have the faith, unshakable faith, then just be sincere. Persevere and do, the result will arise. You will connect and you will be able to understand all this and develop all this understanding. Okay? Let us thank Hui Rong and rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The lady at the side, you want to ask some questions, I think? Oh, okay. Yeah, I already explained. Okay. Okay, any more Q&A? Pass to Brother's chair. Yes. This is Brother Chia from Singapore. Last year was the first retreat he came. So this year he is helping out. He is very kind. He is helping Sui An. Brother Chia.
Brother Teo, do we have enough time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Enough.
I think first of all, Rodio, I want to pay gratitude.
Yeah, can.
I know we always do this at the last.
Yeah.
When I came here, you know, this nature cannot wait.
Yeah, sadhu. Okay, go ahead.
Pay gratitude.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Yeah, sadhu.
So this nature is really very, very grateful.
Yeah.
Rodio for teaching the Buddha Dharma.
Mm.
And this is really the path that free us.
Mm.
And take us out of all the misery in the samsara.
Mm.
So I pay respect first.
Mm. Okay, sadhu. Okay, my nature rejoices, sadhu.
So I'm also very grateful. December 2015.
Last.
To have met my Bodhisattva guide.
Yeah, sadhu.
Brother Song.
Yeah, very good.
In the very short,
last
2 days of a retreat that we went, where I came out, was very disappointed at the end of the retreat. Normally after retreat you feel very good.
Yeah.
By the end of that retreat I was so disappointed because I was still miserable.
Yeah. That was the Thailand one. He went for the 30 days one.
Despite all the nice experiences.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The beautiful meditative state where he can sit very well.
Very beautiful mind states, you know, where you can go in there and then, wow,
yeah.
The best don't come out.
Yeah.
But come out still misery.
Yeah, because human suffering is still there.
So I'm very, very grateful also to Brother Song.
Yeah.
And at that time, then he introduced that there is a retreat in March.
Ah, yeah.
So hence the condition arise, you know. At first, I was not very sure. What
yeah, yeah, yeah. He questioned me for 1.5 days. He is the one.
So, you know, having attended, wow, it was a turning point.
Yeah.
It was really a turning point. And I knew this is the path.
Mm.
So at that time, I also very grateful to all the team and the Kayamitas.
The Kayamita at that time.
No, the committee will make it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And at that time, you know, the Kayamitas who attended and created all the conditions.
Yeah, all the right appropriate conditions. Yeah.
So I'm also very, very grateful.
Yeah,
and again, this time round, I'm very, very grateful for the committee.
Mm.
And of course, Brother Teo making his presence, you know, to come make this retreat happen again.
Mm.
So, thank you very, very much to the committees and all the Kayamitas.
Mm.
So, Brother Teo, the second part, I just want to quickly share a little bit of the, you know,
yeah, very important
knowledge you or wisdom share, yeah. that, you know, experience over the
yeah,
last
yeah.
1 year.
Yeah, yeah, sadhu. It will help them a lot. It will give them faith. Then it will help to give rise to causes and conditions for them to make that determination. Mm.
You know,
go ahead. Yeah, sadhu. Yeah.
Brother Teo taught many things in the Dharma. Among them, the very basic Dharma, the essential Dharma, the cultivation, the way, Satipatthana, and so on and so forth. Right?
Mm.
And then into the also the very advanced Dharma, the Abhidharma, the, you know what, 17...
Yeah, thought moment.
Thought moment, one thought moment already, boom, go.
Yeah.
17 thought moment. We're talking about milliseconds and microseconds. Then after that, he also talked about no more Dharma.
Yeah.
From got Dharma until no Dharma.
Yeah.
So, 诸法时空.
Yeah.
So, in the whole process, you know, he always taught a few things, right? Seeing is only the seeing consciousness.
Yeah. Very
hearing
important.
Is only hearing consciousness. Mm. Feeling is just the feeling.
Mm.
But how to understand?
Sadhu.
Cannot understand one. Right. So until one, and why we cannot understand, my own understanding is because of ourselves. We don't want to understand.
Sadhu, yeah.
Actually, all the while, all this is just in front of us.
Yeah.
You know, everywhere in front of us.
Yeah.
Whether we sit, we walk, we do anything, it's just in front of us.
Truth is everywhere. Why can't you see?
But the problem is we ourselves. We are the problem.
You limit yourself.
Yes.
You don't have the faith.
Our own
you
ego.
You don't trust. Your own ego, your self-delusion, limit
our
yourself.
Our own whatever memory, however we have learned.
Conditioning, views, opinion, and all those things.
So all these actually block ourselves.
Yeah.
And we still think we are very smart.
That is the good one. Thank you for saying it on my behalf.
So big ego, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
So, still think so smart. Still think that I'm right, you know?
Yeah.
Still think, hey, Brother Teo, seeing it, seeing consciousness, well, of course, what? But, cannot see.
Yeah.
Then one day, you know, in fact, especially after I attended another retreat,
yeah, you
September last year.
You told me.
And again, wow, so beautiful mind states going there. Wow, I tell you, if I describe, lao nua one. Really, so many things happen every day. No, wow, keep coming one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then after I came back, I wrote to Brother Teo.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Brother Teo again, you know, gives a very good advice.
Yeah.
Go back to your
daily life.
Because once you are in the retreat, you are in that condition and environment.
The setting is already very different. That's why you will become different. But when you come out into life, it's completely different. That is where the real Dhamma is, the real cultivation is.
So indeed, it is the daily life that really brings the true understanding and the wisdom.
Hmm.
Because that's when we are exposing ourselves to the real environment.
Correct.
And the real test. Hmm.
And so you can live that Dhamma with that understanding. That's why it becomes a living reality. That's why it can blend into life. And he experienced it. Even this trip come down, he was full of joy. Like a lot of things go his way. He learned so much things. Then truth is everywhere. Dhamma is everywhere when you have that understanding. Last time, always get angry on me. Oh, yo, why these people do this to me? Why they cheat me? And all that. Now, he said, people are so nice to him. He was so amazed. Even Malay lady offer him the keropok or the what from Johor and all those things. Yeah. Sadhu, continue. Very good.
So Brother Teo always also say, don't try to know.
That one is the most important.
Then it's like, don't try to know, then how to know?
Sadhu.
Again, you know, this ego, this, you know, karmic, whatever, you know, accumulation blocks ourselves.
Accumulation.
Right? Because we think very smart. I can think, I can analyze, I can deduce, and I can conclude.
Yeah.
So, this ego is so big. And try to know. So, gay kyang cannot.
Yeah, yeah.
So, my gay kyang.
Yeah.
So, in the end, when you don't try to know, actually, everything is in front of you.
Sadhu.
Everything is in front of you.
Yeah.
So seeing is really the seeing consciousness.
Yeah.
And hearing is really the hearing consciousness.
There is no one inside there.
And when you're walking, and then
Sadhu,
you just see as it is.
Yeah.
Oh, no more this, no more
nothing.
That. Right? And you hear also, same thing.
Yeah.
It's just the hearing consciousness.
Yeah.
Right. Then when you allow it to go in, dukkha arise.
All the creation start.
Dukkha will arise. Then one day, when the mind was silent, just sitting down waiting for a bus.
Very good.
And then, this thing just arises. Hope the next bus comes, the double deck. Then I realized, this is exactly what all this karmic thing is all about. This force, it was a force that coming out. Come out.
Yeah.
And then it was watching it come out.
Yeah.
And then it's like, once you see it, right there it sees.
Yeah.
Right there it sees.
Because this is your craving, your desire,
right? And you realize
your conditioning, your habitual tendency.
Come we have all this karma, all this coming back, all this birth, death,
death?
So the dependent origination came out, right? All this thought arising, and the whole cycle just go on.
Yeah.
So if you allow it to go on, it's like, the bus come or not come.
Yeah, it will take you away, become heedless. You are lost in thought, drawn. Then it becomes thinking, sankhara, activity.
So at the moment, full of peace.
Yeah.
Whatever
just relax,
the come,
silent.
Whatever the last come, just take.
Echo and flow. Whatever will be, will be. That's why when there is wisdom, all these sankhara cease. Because you see them deceiving you. They have been deceiving you and creating a lot of suffering to mankind for aeons and aeons, for infinite life. Do you still want this to continue? If you don't want, you better wake up. The moment you wake up, you realize these are all sankhara according to what the Buddha say. And what is sankhara? Impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising, no reality, not me. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent and changing entity. That's why it's not real, empty. And everything arises and passes away. Nature just flow on, mighty nature rolling by. Then who are you? What are you? The moment the ego arises, you got a lot of things follow. then you want to do so many things. That's why a lot of Kayamita early on, they got trapped. They want to know whether they have progressed or not. Many got trapped. And who wants to know? The ego. Have I done it correctly? Have I understood what the Buddha taught? Have I understood what Brother Teo taught? You are using the thought, which is knowledge, trying to look for things. The reason why I say, don't try to know, is, I have to explain one more time. I have explained many times. What is knowing? You remember Jay Krishnamurti? The most dangerous person in this world is what? Who is the most dangerous person in this world? The one who say, I know. When you know, nobody can teach you. Understand? You already know. And what is that knowing? The thought. Knowledge. What is there to know? All of knowing is concept, idea, thought. The true wisdom is understanding. It's not rigid. Understanding is the moment you understand that nature is free, completely free, under whatever circumstances. Whereas knowledge is different. Knowledge is rigid. And people go wrong is because they hear me counsel people, depression people, suffering people. Then they say, oh, last time Brother Teo say like that. No, you ask for forgiveness. So you repeat what I say. Nothing wrong, isn't it? You didn't quote me wrong, isn't it? You repeat what I say. But you don't understand why I say this to that person. Why I don't say the same thing to that person, the other person. We are different people, different. You don't have that understanding. That's why I caution a lot of Kayamita. Don't, what do I say? Don't quote me. Understand or not? When you quote me, you don't understand my meaning. You quote out of contact. You get not only yourself into trouble, you get me into trouble too. Understand or not? People will challenge you and you cannot answer, then they will come and look for me. But so far, lucky, nobody look for me. Because for me, it's no right, no wrong. Just sharing. You cannot understand, it's okay. You can understand, make use of whatever you can understand. So this knowledge is not the true Dhamma. Knowledge is concept, idea, created by thought, to your views and opinion. And knowledge is rigid. Rigid means it can only help you to solve technical problems, specific problems. Yeah, you use knowledge. But wisdom, born of the spiritual understanding and awakening, can solve all problems, regardless of where it is, who it is, whatever the condition and the situation. Wisdom, the moment you have, you will have. Your mind is completely different, liberated, no more suffering. Nothing can deceive you. And that is what wisdom is all about. That's why understanding, I cannot teach you, like the Buddha. He cannot teach you understanding. He can teach you the Dhamma, understand not? The truth. You have to walk the path yourself to realize this teaching. But this teaching is to be awakened to be realized by the wise, each for themselves. If the Buddha can do it for you, I ask you one question. Do you think the Buddha is not compassionate enough? He is the most compassionate being. He will do it for you. But like he said, I can only show you the way. You have to walk the path yourself. Because this is not something we can do for you. Now you understand? Yeah? If I can teach you wisdom, I would have teach you long ago. But I cannot teach you. I can only share with you my understanding. My understanding is this wisdom. But this wisdom cannot be taught. Can only be shared. And you have to cultivate, to realize it, and awaken to it. Now you understand? Yeah? It's not to say, Brother Teo so selfish, don't want to teach. I cannot teach, because this one, you cannot learn one. It's not a knowledge, you understand? Like science, I can teach. Maths, I can teach. Mundane, skillful thing, using thought, I can teach. But when it comes to spiritual awakening, enlightenment, wisdom, It is not something that you can teach. You cannot teach. You can only share. Yeah. Okay, the question, we all know mine. Is the cosmic path block this understanding? Your question is, cosmic path is from where? Is it your cosmic path or what? No. Is it your cosmic path? Individual cosmic path. Means over the long period of evolution, definitely there is a lot of karmic obstruction. Because through eons and eons of birth and death, there are many, many conditions or occasions where the Buddha Sasana is not there. Living being, through delusion or ignorance, they will fall. So this karmic obstruction, the Buddha always teach you to ask for forgiveness, repentance. And the most powerful is from Triple Gem. That's why the morning chanting, evening chanting is to protect you from such severe karmic obstruction. There in the Theravada teaching also, you have the chanting. You closing puja, you invoke kayena vacca cittena. If through action, speech or thought, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that you have committed any karmic negativity or karmic condition that brings about suffering to fellow living beings, you would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. So all these are thought. But the Mahayana took it much further. They call it repentance. You have to repent. Repentance is much, much stronger than just asking for forgiveness. Asking for forgiveness means that, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. After that guy forgive you, you repeat, understand? But repentance means what? I repent means I know this is wrong. I will not do it again because I'm willing to repent. I'm willing to change over. You understand? That's why repentance is much deeper than asking for forgiveness. That's why they use the word chan hui. So all these are the various understandings. So karmic obstruction is a lot. That's why in our chanting book, I teach you how to invoke the power of merit to ask for forgiveness sincerely. Then arise the causes and conditions through merit, through nature's law, to help you overcome all this karmic obstruction. If you don't do all this, it's not easy. Okay? Yeah. Let President Jack continue.
So actually, back to basics. What Brother Teo talked about, the four support, just relax and be aware. It's so simple, but so difficult to do. Just relax and be aware, but we can't.
Yeah. Can somebody help me? Jinhao, take that one down. The center, second row at the bottom. Then stick it there. The four support is there.
But once you realize it...
Oh, no need. Can. It's just rubber. Plasticine.
Once you realize it, it's actually so beautiful.
Yeah.
So sadu, beautiful.
Sadu,
so simple and so beautiful.
Yeah.
And yet we block ourselves.
Mm.
And then when you realize it, seeing is really the seeing consciousness. Mm. No words one.
Yeah.
There's
sadu.
No words to describe.
Yeah.
Because when you got word, you are really not seeing.
Yeah. Your perception, your conditioning is interfering with your seeing. That is mundane seeing.
So as simple as that, this is the path to really free us from all the worldly misery.
Mm.
And this nature, even, you know, you go out to the world, you see all so much misery.
Mm.
But people just ignore it. People on wheelchair, old people, sick people, people, even strong people, look at their face, full of frustration.
Yes, yeah.
Busy with their handphones, walking. All kinds of misery in the world. Until this nature, just walking, can just tears and just in the middle of the road, just tears, you know.
Out of love and compassion.
And then all this misery,
just flow.
The whole samsara.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how that love and compassion can become so strong, because you can feel the suffering in humanity. in living being. Then you come for the living being. That's how the vow take effect. And it's very different, because that nature that has the wisdom and the understanding really, really can feel. You are so sensitive. That's why it's very different. And last retreat, after he has the faith, I ask him to listen. Then I draw the triangle. Then I remind him of the four support. Then I constantly remind them in the sharing that in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. Others, I will draw the physical experiment that the rest can understand. Because it's just a nature's law. You on the switch, the light bulb just light up. So when you become conscious of what you see, it's just like upon contact, the light bulb light up. So the lighting up is you become conscious. But there is nobody inside there to see. And the lighting up of the light bulb is a natural process, isn't it? You don't need a God to create seeing, isn't it? So when it arises, that light that come out is like you become conscious. And that consciousness, before the content going, is just a pure consciousness. That's why when you have this ability to connect to the true mind, the silent mind, which he had realized and Song Deo had realized, they will know what this thing is. And they will understand. And it's so simple, so clear. Because it comes from the silent mind. That's why not until you cultivate, until you realize that silent mind, all this teaching is very difficult for you to comprehend when you use your thought process. Yeah, continue. Yeah, Vajra, thank you.
Oh. So actually the Buddha Dhamma is a very simple one. No need to be so complicated and think so complicated.
Yeah.
Just relax and be aware. And don't try to know.
Very good, Sadhu. thank you so much. Very good. Okay, thank you. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And he only attended one retreat last year. After that, he's on his own and he know what to do. Then he keep on having that joy. Then he wrote to me. Then I advised him accordingly. And he understand very fast because they have the condition at that time. Then okay, okay. She asked the question, what do you mean by we have the condition at that time? Because at that time, like he said, he has a lot of gratitude. He expressed his gratitude again. This is not the first time, not the second time, a few times already. Even that first last year retreat, he also expressed that gratitude towards all the Kayanamita, the organizer, and all those people who helped in making this possible. So these are the conditions that fall into place, like this retreat. You are not here by accident. Those who cannot be here also is not by accident. It's meant to be, they cannot be here. But those that have the condition, they will appear. So when the condition is there, when you have the faith, the sincerity, then things can happen. That is the meaning. Understand? It's not to say that I favor him. I don't know him. And I don't know Song also last time. They just came. In fact, all the Kayamita, I don't know them. Except, of course, Sui Anmi for my uni mate. I know them. But even I know them, I never really do anything to persuade them to come or what. Until the condition manifests, then they just came. And Subang Group should thank Sui An, Mi Fong, and Ing Bi. In fact, Ing Bi and Mi Fong was the two pioneers who requested. Ing Bi was the one that made the request. Then Mi Fong also set the condition. Then after that, Mi Fong and Ing Bi said, only two of us, we get Sui An in. Then Sui An get drawn in. Then Sui An said, Mo Kao Ngao meditation. Yeah, he cannot sit, you see. But after the first one, he can. Now, according to Mi Fong, he is more serious than Mi Fong. So these are the conditions. When there is condition, things happen. Then you will move. But when you are not ready, when the condition is not there, you will not move. And most of it happens because you yourself limit yourself. You don't have the faith. You yourself, through the thought process, create the wrong thought, the idea, and tell you, you cannot wanna. You where got this type of nature? You where can compare to other people? And who is saying all these things? It's the thought. The Buddha already said, each and every one of us, we have the potential to be Sammasambuddha. The Buddha nature is within. You only need to seek and realize it. You see, Krishnamurti shared this. He said, all of us are cultivating. We are seeking for something which we believe is enlightenment. True or not? Yeah? Everybody is seeking to be enlightened, isn't it? He said, what happens if the seeker is the sick? You understand? I write it on the whiteboard. What happens if the seeker is the sick? What is your answer? S-E-E-K-E-R. You are trying to seek enlightenment in it. You are trying to look for enlightenment in it. To realize it. In it. Then who is seeking? You are seeking in it. But you didn't know that what you seek is inside you. Understand? This nature that you are seeking is inside the form and mind, connected. And you don't know. You seek outside. You go everywhere. Understand? Look for this teacher, that teacher. That's why Mahesh is teaching the real master who understands, seek within. In Mahayana, they always say, Hui Guang Fan Zhao. Reverse the light and seek within. Then like Brother Chia, they all song, they all realize. When you seek within, you silent. The nature shine forth. The moment the mundane mind realizes itself and sees, you will realize your true nature. Then you realize it is so simple, like what Brother Chia can share with you. And I used to tell you that when you don't understand, it's very difficult. When you understand, the Buddha Dhamma is so simple. So coming to the four support, I haven't explained to the new group. Four support for awareness-based meditation. This one is not for one-pointedness, not for thought-based and energy field. The first support is relax. Relax into every mind state so that the energy cannot build up. Relax. Then aware. Aware means maintain that silence within. Just aware. Silent. Just aware. Don't try to know. Your all of knowing is knowledge from the thought, egoic mind, conditioned thought, silent, don't try to know. Then, if you can maintain this silence for as long as you can, to stabilize it, that's why awareness is to stabilize it 24 hours, technically, even in your sleeping state, you can be aware within, later on. Then, finally, is trust. No more thought-based meditation. No more the thought trying to do meditation. You just relax, silent, aware. Stay at the heart. Then it will locate the gateway. The moment it locates the gateway, the energy will all go in. Then the yin-yang will melt inside. It become pure energy. Then this one, meditate by itself. Activate and open up everything by itself. Then the physical body will transform. Then your consciousness will transform. Then it is already wise with the wisdom within the pure energy, the pure nature. That is the one that can awaken the form and mind. That's why this type of meditation is very, very fast and very, very different from ordinary thought-based. This one, no thought is involved. Trust. You trust your own nature to do the meditation. And your nature is just silent, aware, and it will move by itself. There is no forcing, no mind to direct and control, no suppression, no doing, no activity, nothing. Just that nature do by itself. And you will be amazed at how it can transform you. You can become so still and so silent within. And this is complete stillness, silent meditation, and fully aware the oneness nature, so stable. Then later on when it come out, it can see all those happening, the essential Dhamma, the teaching that the Buddha talked about, dependent origin, the thought moment, all very fast. No matter how fast, that nature is aware. Because the moment is silent, it can be with everything. It's so sensitive. It's so different. Okay? So this is what you need to understand later. Okay. I think we need to meditate now. With this understanding, you can meditate. So just now I reversed the Q&A out. So now you can have your 60 minutes of meditation. Is it 10:30?
10:20.
10:20. Actually, yeah, you can meditate.